In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There is a difference between righteousness under the law of the Old Covenant and righteousness under the law of the New Covenant. The law of the Old Covenant is maybe not completely easy to understand, but it's certainly easier to understand because it's about how to, by following the law, keep from falling lower than our humanity. But the law of the New Testament is the law of the body of Christ. It is the law that is Christ himself. In him we see our humanity fulfilled, and we know that we can live from God's life, from the life of Christ, from his perfection, not by an imposed law, but by a law of love from within us that makes us desire the things that God desires. We learn to love as God loves, from within ourselves. And someone who lives like this fulfills the Old Covenant law. Jesus is always careful to deal with people as they actually are. He doesn't launch into high-flown teachings that enable us to justify ourselves or have an interesting conversation that leaves interpretation open so that we can continue to live the way we lived before. But then on the other hand, he doesn't force people beyond where they are either. He created us in such a way that unless we are affirming ourselves, we are going to respond to the presence of God. We are going to respond with love. It depends on the person. And on the occasion when the young man, who was a lawyer, came to him, Jesus recognized him immediately as someone who was righteous under the law to the best of his ability. He gave him credit for that. He didn't try to push him beyond it. But then, when the man tried to justify himself, that's when he gave him the parable of the man who fell prey to thieves and the good Samaritan who helped him. The man came to Jesus and he asked, "What must I do in order to have eternal life?" Now, there are words already in the Old Covenant about that. And Jesus saw that this was a man with a legal mind. "Give me the authoritative rules and I will follow them," as he had followed them up until that point. Jesus asks him, "How do you read the law?" And the man knows the law of the Old Covenant. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He doesn't just say, as we might today, "Well, there are the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that." No, he gets the Old Covenant law in its essence. All of those commandments are contained in the love of God with our heart, mind, soul, and all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus accepts that. Simply says, "Go thou and do likewise. You have answered correctly." The Blessed Theophylact explains to us, though, that when Jesus says this, he's taking into account this particular man. And essentially, what Jesus is saying is that since you are still under the law, you have answered rightly. You are bound to the law. And if your way of thinking is according to the law, and you go and you do what you have said, then you will inherit eternal life. Now the man, of course, is going to have some difficulty. But if he goes and he tries, as he has that difficulty, at each point, he'll have to choose between himself and God. And so the actions that he does in the world will either be God-loving actions or selfish actions. The difficulty with the law, Theophylact says, is that the law is unable to teach us perfection because of our spiritual immaturity. So we can follow the law, and we're not doing things that we ought not to do. And we might even follow the positive path that this man has indicated the best we can, because there's no thou shalt not in love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Even this lawyer gets that. But it's not going to change us inside so that we act from oneness with God. We've imposed it upon ourselves because we accept God's authority to give us this way of living. And that's how this lawyer is functioning. The law has no capacity to change us. And yet, Jesus accepts this man's piety as it is. Because if he were to go out in life and live this way with humility, and there's the problem, because this is a prideful man. If he were to go out into the world and live as he has said, it will take humility. And if he does that, then he will be following the path of Christ. And finally, the man asks, but who is my neighbor? Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? Now in Greek, the word for neighbor is plesios, and it means to be nearby, to be close by someone. And so the question, who is my neighbor, is really, who is close to me? Now this man, considering himself righteous under the law, thinks that only other people who are righteous under the law are close to him. It would be natural for him to think they are my neighbors. The ones who are like me, they are my neighbors. I live in a neighborhood. The people in my neighborhood are like me. They have similar houses. They have similar ways of life. But someone who is of a different race, like the Samaritans, who lives far away, how could they be my neighbor? They are not near to me. They are not like me. They are different from me. And so Jesus gives him the parable of the Good Samaritan, the one who is completely unlike the Jews, hated and despised by the Jews, thought of as other than us. There's us and there's them. That's the problem. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those who are close to you, those who are like you, those that you can look around and say, this is us. This person is like me. But if someone who is not like me, is that person my neighbor? From Jesus Christ's point of view, seeing as how he created all of us, we are all alike. All of us are the same. We are human beings, dependent on his goodness, his life. We only become unlike one another when we turn away from God toward the world and use the things of the world to try to distinguish ourselves in ways that make us special, separate from others, separate from God. Once we're thinking in that kind of way, we have a certain number of neighbors, and beyond that, those people aren't our neighbors. They aren't like us. But from God's point of view, we are all alike. Love your neighbor as yourself. because your neighbor is the same as you. Your neighbor in the sense of any human being. All human beings are neighbors to one another. All human beings are alike as human beings. If we have no compassion for another human being who seems unlike to me in the way that I have separated myself from other human beings, the rest of the human race, certain parts of society, then we are alone. Some kind of creature that is different from the being that God created. He created us as human beings. And if we are separate from that common humanity that makes all of us brothers and sisters because we are created by the same God as human beings, then we have isolated ourselves from God and from others. And so this man with his pride is going to have difficulty in going out and living in the way that the old covenant has told him that he should live. All of this has to do with the way the world was before Christ came. Even before Christ came, we were all neighbors. We were all to love and have compassion on others as we would have compassion on those that are near to us by relationship. Husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, members of the family. The family includes all of humankind. All of that was true before Christ came. It was true because we are human beings. When Christ comes, now it is possible for us to become spiritually mature. The law could not change us because we were spiritually immature. Now, what does that mean, to be spiritually immature? There is only one way to become spiritually mature, and that is by moving toward the fullness of the stature of Christ. He's the only grown-up. The saints are like him. The Blessed Theophylact is like him. We call him the Blessed Theophylact. That means, remember, the deathless Theophylact, the one who lives by the life of God incarnate himself, because he is blessed with oneness with the deathless life of Christ. That's what it means to be spiritually mature. Jesus Christ will not reject us because we are spiritually immature, just as he didn't reject the lawyer. The only problem comes when we reach the point that we try to justify being spiritually immature, that we try to make being spiritually immature into some kind of a closed identity. We might even turn to Scripture and find justification for it. Once that begins, then there's a problem. Then we've cut ourselves off from God. Then we've made an idol within ourselves, tried to become God without God, the same as the first breaking of the commandment of God. But it's not true that just because we may not, like the great ascetics and the great spiritual saints, launch into an all-out ascetical effort to transform ourselves. So long as we are humble, so long as we don't try to justify something other than that, Christ accepts us. Our salvation is lived out in our humility. More is possible. But the interesting thing is that those who live their lives out in this kind of humility, refusing to justify themselves in some way that separates them from the calling to attain the fullness of the stature of Christ, refusing to go in the other direction, but simply maintaining their humility and living their lives and dealing with the suffering that comes to them without lashing out against God, but accepting that God loves us, and even the physical pain that we might have or the spiritual or the emotional anxiety that we might have, those things are overcome by our humility and our love of God and our refusal to turn in the other direction and justify ourselves in some way. Some people justify themselves by coming up with ideas that make them feel comfortable, that actually separate them from God. Others of us justify ourselves in emotional ways, questioning God, rejecting what He has given to us, making ourselves into special separate victims before God, when all of the time we know that God came and ascended the cross and destroyed the power of pain and suffering and death to separate us from the fullness of our life, and even made it possible by His acceptance of those things to make the endurance of our pain and suffering because we love something higher. Something higher keeps us up, bears us up. It makes it possible for that experience of life to transform us and to move us toward the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's the way God deals with us. He doesn't demand that we change on the basis of our own ability or strength because we don't have any. All we have to do is accept humility and refuse to take the opposite path away from Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.